Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, broadcasting from my home studio, which I gave a little disclaimer at the top of the show. I have this sort of really lovely porch situation going on in the back of my apartment, but when it rains, it's really loud. Apparently, you can hear it a little bit, so bear with us. There's nothing wrong with your radio, your earbuds, or anything else. It's just good old-fashioned Mother Nature making herself known. Let's continue on with our guest today. The protagonist of the new novel Interior Chinatown is actor Willis Wu. Willis has played the generic Asian man. He's mastered the face of great shame. He can play the delivery guy and the silent henchman with equal skill. But all Willis wants in this world is to be a kung fu guy, the highest honor an Asian American man can achieve in Hollywood. And that's where we first meet Willis. Interior Chinatown's author Charles Yu is no stranger to Hollywood. He's a corporate lawyer turned TV writer, working on shows like Westworld and Lodge 49. Now, Interior Chinatown may be a novel, but it's formatted like a screenplay. And Willis might not be the star of the cop procedural he works on, but his POV is at the center of the story, even if he is relegated to roles like generic Asian man. Here is how Yu describes it on page 82. 81, actually. In the morning, you do the cop show. In the afternoon, you do the cop show. You get your envelope. $90 for being generic Asian man. You train. You stay in shape. You get ready for your next role. Slowly, you climb the ladder. Generic Asian man number 3. Generic Asian man number 2. You practice the words you will have to say. I did it for my family's honor, officer. I have disgraced my family, and now I must pay the price. Without face, I have nothing. Honor means everything in my culture. You wouldn't understand. You climb the ladder. Generic Asian man number 1. You say the words. You train. You stay in shape. You do the cop show. You're close now. Close enough to imagine a different life. As he works his way up the Asian actor ladder and inches ever closer to the status of kung fu guy, he starts to wonder, am I part of the solution or perpetuating the problem? Interior Chinatown is one of the most innovative novels of 2020. Of course, you can order a copy from your local bookstore, and we are so glad to have Charles Yu with us. Welcome, Charles.
Thanks so much, Allison.
So I pointed out that you started out as a corporate lawyer and then a fiction writer by night. What was driving you to write stories when you came home from work?
Realizing that I probably wasn't cut out for the law. And so it's just a matter of time before they figured it out. So it was a race against time.
Well, how did you became this TV writer, and it's an amazing story. If people haven't read the New York Times profile about you, it just kept happening and happening and happening. But once you became a TV writer and you decided you were going to write a novel, or you're going to start working in narrative fiction, how did working in television shape your narrative fiction?
Right. Well, yeah, and actually, I started out writing short stories, so when I was working as a lawyer, back to your first question, I'd go home at night and I'd write these short stories, just things that would bubble up into my consciousness throughout the day, and I'd jot down a note or a sentence here or there. And eventually I started collecting them into short stories and submitting them. And so I was actually publishing fiction for a number of years while still working as a lawyer. And a couple of books came out, and then through that, I started to meet people in television and film. And so it sort of was the other way. And then once I started working in TV, that's when I was able to quit the day job and move into being a lawyer. And to your point, that's kind of when I noticed, obviously having two different kinds of writing prose fiction on the one hand, and then writing in this screenplay format on the other hand, that the two started to sort of blend together into, and I think this book is sort of the result of that.
Yeah, and structuring the novel like a screenplay, I've heard you say you've done it because you had the software, but in terms of this kind of structure as opposed to a traditional structure of a novel, what did it allow for you as a writer? What did it open up for you creatively?
I mean, I think you said it exactly. It opened it up. I mean, I'm always looking for a way into a story. You know, I've sort of when I'm in the long period of, you know, you could call it gestation or frustration, I'm sort of banging my head against the wall and taking long walks. And my kids are wondering if, you know, what I'm doing, why I look so frustrated all the time. And so, but what I'm really looking for during that period is a way into the story, like a voice that feels authentic. And so what this form did was it felt fun to me. It took the pressure off because I knew I wanted to write about this topic, about not just Asian Americans, but yes, specifically through an Asian American point of view. I wanted to look at marginalization and assimilation and write about race and write about the immigrant experience in America. But every time I sat down to do that, it felt like, oh, I'm trying to write my, you know, serious novel, you know, and I don't know, for better or worse, I'm not equipped to write. If I try to put my serious writer pants on, it feels wrong. I take them off and I put my, you know, my shorts back on. And so I just needed, this was my shorts. You know, I needed to have a fun way in, and it took the pressure off and loosened up the writing. And then once it got going, and once I really could drop into Willis's voice, I really, you know, it has its own momentum.
Serious pants, freedom shorts. That's what we'll start calling them. My guest is Charles Yu. The name of his new novel is Interior Chinatown. So let's talk about Willis. Where is he in his career when we meet Willis Wu?
He is about halfway up the ladder. So when we meet him, he's generic Asian man number 3 / delivery guy. Which is probably, you know, people that have watched any amount of TV have seen a procedural show. And there are certain kinds of very special episodes that you get every so often on a procedural show. And one of them is the let's go into an ethnic enclave, you know, and Chinatown being sort of one of the iconic ethnic communities that like Hollywood can sort of drop into, and you already sort of know the tropes of that kind of episode. So Willis is playing, you know, these kind of bit parts where he never really has a line, or at most he has one line, like, here's your food. And he's sort of stuck in a rut.
Could you read his resume? You give us his resume on page 7.
Yeah, sure. Willis Wu, Asian actor. Skills, kung fu, moderate proficiency. Fluent in accented English. Able to do face of great shame on command. Resume, disgraced son. Delivery guy, silent henchman. Caught between two worlds. Guy who runs in and gets kicked in the face. Striving immigrant. Generic Asian man.
So as you know, obviously these are stereotypes, and you wanted to write about them. But when you thought about it, how do I write about them without perpetuating them? Which is sort of in plaguing Willis, too.
Right. Exactly. That's the trick. It's I wanted to catalog them because it felt like that in itself was worth it to point out to both for myself as the writer and for maybe other Asian Americans who have felt this, you know, sort of invisible kind of ghetto that Asian characters are stuck in on TV and film. But also for a wider audience, I think, because I think everyone, I hope, can identify with this idea of being sort of typecast. And so it was, you know, to your point, a kind of balancing act between wanting to have fun with these tropes and point out that this is how these types get flattened and turned into stereotypes without actually succumbing to them. And so I think the hope was to humanize them, that as we meet these characters, we first learn their titles, generic Asian man or black dude cop or white lady cop or floating Latino. And like, we don't know what those mean, or we instantly know what those mean because we recognize them as this sort of two-dimensional type. And then through the course of the story, we see how, you know, that they're playing against type in some cases, that underneath the role is a human being that has all kinds of quirks and dimensions that don't ever make it through onto the screen.
My guest is Charles Yu. His name of his book is Interior Chinatown. Is there one of the stereotypes that just really grates up at you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the accent thing has mm-hmm. always really bothered me, and it's getting better, but it's still not, hasn't been eradicated. The idea that certain ethnic groups are going to have an accent, and this is, I mean, it's very common with Asian American characters, or characters that you would assume would be Asian American, you know, and yet when they're on screen, for some reason, the expectation is that they wouldn't speak an accent as English. But I think it carries through other groups as well. I think Middle Eastern people, I think Latino or Latinx mm-hmm. people probably have experienced some of that, where there's got to be some flavor or some sort of ethnic marker to the way people speak. When, you know, I think the reality is, especially living in where I live anyway, in Southern California, you walk around and it's a whole bunch of people speaking, you know, speaking fluent English.
In the book, Willis works on this cop show that's kind of modeled after Law and Order. It's called Black and White. And there's a female detective in the show is white. The male detective is black. They have banter. As you describe them, they have sexy lips. What did you want to examine about the binary nature of black and white racial, you know, silos, and then how Asian people are on the periphery?
Right. All of that. Yes. I think, you know, the to me, the sort of stereotypical sort of role that you get to see is the sort of hyper-masculine black man in one of these roles, whose physicality and sort of masculinity is what's featured. And invisible is like the black woman who, you know, is increasingly, I mean, you sometimes see the black woman as now like Regina King in Watchmen was amazing. That was a role that probably didn't exist even a few years ago to have mm-hmm. someone lead a show like that. But for me growing up, you'd see this kind of action hero black man, and you'd see, you know, the hyper-competent, beautiful white woman. And if you were only to watch TV, you'd believe that, you know, the racial dynamic basically boils down to that. And there are all these other groups that get their slot, basically. So if you don't, you know, to sort of make it into that slot is like trying to fit through the eye of a needle. You get one shot maybe every year to see, you know, one of these other groups on screen. And then that was it. And so I think that really sort of oversimplifies the picture of what an American or what America looks like in a way that most people, obviously, in their kind of walking around day-to-day reality, don't think about it that way. But for some reason on screen, it gets portrayed that way, and that creates this kind of sort of weird dissonance where you're seeing a thing on screen that doesn't match your experience. But the message from TV and film is so powerful that does sort of tell you a different narrative, and that narrative does a disservice not just to Asian Americans, but I think to all groups, in that it makes a much more complicated and rich dynamic into something that's oversimplified.
The book is, I also want to say, is really funny, and it's really deft, and it's really crafted beautifully. So, you know, I think that you make all these points in a way that might sneak up on a reader a little bit, so congratulations on that. And before I let you go, I wanted to ask you this, and we've got a little bit over a minute left. You know, this book obviously was written long before an Asian American man had made it to the debate stage for the presidency. What did you think about the way Andrew Yang's candidacy was covered and handled?
I mean, I thought that there were some things where it was a little bit it was exciting sometimes, where mm-hmm. you just read about he's talking about universal basic income. And then other times it was disappointing because it felt like he wasn't getting the level of coverage that he should. I mean, considering that he was on the debate stage in sort of the final eight or whatever the number was, you know, that was, it felt like, well, he's not being taken seriously as a contender in the way he would if he were the exact same sort of experience and background, but not an Asian American man, you know? So I felt this incredible pride that not just in him, but in that this was happening in America. Yeah. I mean, that makes me proud. A mixture of things, but it definitely felt like a huge step forward, his candidacy.
The name of the book is Interior Chinatown. It was by Charles Yu. It's a great read. Charles, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thanks, Allison. Thank you.